Greetings, everyone. So good to see everyone. I ask you to open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 23. Be sure to take out your outline. I have them on the table or on the chair in the back with the verses that we're going to be that along this theme. Tonight we're dealing with family life in regard to parents and children and the interactions and the role and responsibilities and duties of each. And Proverbs speaks much of this over and over. The Bible teaches a lot about the importance of what the family unit is to be. We got out in the world wants to break down the family. The world is trying to do its best to destroy the design that God has ordained in many different ways. And it behooves us to follow the Lord's instruction, because if you want a solid and stable, God-honoring home, you want to follow His guidelines and precepts He has given us. Quit listening to the world. They're the ones with the problem, because you do not raise children in a worldly fashion and expect them to have godly principles and a sense of honor and respect, love and adoration to the depth and the degree that God's people are to experience when we apply in our lives the principles, and that they are motivated through our hearts. And there is so much here. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you. Lord, we have heard many messages on parenting and children's duties and all the likes. But Lord, here we are reminded again to come back to the source. Come back to your word, and in the light of wisdom versus folly, we can be parents that are fools, raging fools, or we can be parents that seek to honor you and live a life and teach the way of wisdom, the path of righteousness, godliness, and this moral discernment. Lord, we pray that that you would help us to, no matter what our lot is in life, even if we are not parents now or children not living at home now, we still have a responsibility to understand your mind and your thoughts on this, so we can help others who have these questions. Constantly, parents ask, I need help. And yet your word is so clear, and so grateful that we can point people to the word to get your blessing and your promises rooted in your word to help it to be what you would have it to be. So, Father, we pray that we would be attentive, that we would be teachable, that we would focus and listen and incline our ears to hear with the intention of obeying, and that we would gain wisdom, and that we would live our lives accordingly. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Briefly, in the way of introduction, God has ordained the family unit for His glory and for the good of society, and has given parents and children their duties and responsibility to carry out toward one another. One day, we will give an account of how we have lived up to those things that God had commanded us to fulfill within our families. What I have chosen tonight is just briefly deal with the parents' role and responsibility, the children's role and responsibility, as outlined in Proverbs, and bringing a few other passages throughout the scripture that reinforces this. And then come to the concluding point regarding what is the primary goal. You have the world constantly thinking that as a parent, all I have to do is provide a roof over their head, clothes on their back, and food in their belly, and I have done my job as a parent. No, you have not. You have not from God's perspective. God expects you to teach them the way of the Lord. Whether you're lost or not, still expects that. You can rebel against it. You can dismiss it. You can treat it as that's not true. We'll still be accountable to that standard. So in point number one, we have the duty of parent to their children. And the verses that I outlined there in Proverbs 20 verse 7, it says this: the righteous man walked in his integrity. His children are blessed after them. Proverbs 23:22, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Proverbs 23 verse 24 through 26, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. Right there, we have several very important things. But one thing I want to clarify that some people, for some reason, get confused, and that has to do with verse 23:22, where it said, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother. And it's almost like they pit dad and mom against each other, where it's just nothing more than a way it, whether they say father or mother, the general principle is listen to your parents and don't despise your parents in general. It's not, you can despise your father, but you can't your mother. Some people aptly have taken that interpretation, when in reality, it's just saying don't do this to your parent, period. Or do this to your parents. So in the above verses that we just dealt with, we see the role and duty of parent is to live righteously and to walk with integrity. That's how you get in verse chapter 20, verse 7, the righteous man walked in his integrity and his children are blessed. When a man who is a godly man, a righteous man, and he walked in his integrity, in his uprightness, in light of the word of God, his children will see that, and they will not only see and observe that, they will realize that they have been blessed. Because any child in a home of that kind of principle, the righteousness and integrity, is going to be blessed. Now, it's important that we understand that this I'm dealing with parents. Parents need to understand. So you need to live in a way that is consistent with righteousness. You need to live in a way that is consistent with the Word of God and consistent with integrity. Also, it teaches that parents are to teach their children the things in the way of the Lord. That's why he said in verse 26 of chapter 23, 26, give me your heart. Listen to what I have to say. Let me teach you. Let me instruct you. Let me guide you, help you to avoid the spiritual pitfalls that I have experienced. Help you in the ways of the Lord. We know that, and even when you get into the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and you, Father, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. We are to teach and admonish our children the right path. While they're under our roof, they need to be taught and instructed. But it doesn't stop there. It not only said in verse 26, my son, give me your heart. And then it said some very scary words. Let your eyes observe my ways. In other words, watch. I'm going to show you how to live this. I'm going to show you how what it looks like to live this way. Everything I'm teaching you, observe my life. The old saying, children are to be seen, not heard. Do as I say and not as I do. It's wrong. It is wicked. It is lazy. And I heard it a lot over the years growing up. Not in my home, but in my friends' home. There that breeds hypocrisy. It's one thing, probably one of the greatest pictures, and I don't know if many of you know, I know our young people may not, but anyway, Norman Rockwell, man, he had some of the greatest pictures you can have. I seen two, one that showed the absolute best way to raise your children, and one to the absolute worst way to raise up your children in the way of hypocrisy. The best way, and you don't see that picture, I happen to have it because I heard about it, found it, and what it is a family at church in a pew with dad leading the children how to lead in worship. Not leaving the duty to mom, but dad is leading. And it's a beautiful picture of the dad leading the son. Beautiful picture, observe it. This is how we do it. Now the absolute worst is mom and the three kids are ready to go off to church and dad is slouching, trying to hide behind a chair, hoping that they don't see him, though they can leave, though he can watch the game or read the newspaper. Rockwell, they didn't have the football game going on. But that's the problem today. Men will stay home and skip churches. My family need it, I don't. That's hypocrisy. Don't expect your children to listen to what you have to say when you don't live out what you teach. That's what Proverbs is teaching. He gives the children the responsibility. Listen to your parents and observe and let them pattern after them. How are you doing, mom and dad? How are you doing modeling for them? Consistency, faithfulness. Oh, may we model with our lives as examples what we are teaching our children. It is interesting when you look at that word in Proverbs 23:26, it said, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. When you look up that word observe, God instructs children to observe parents with a sense of favor, giving them, you look at them, watch them, and give them the benefit of the doubt, so to speak. Also with a sense of a desire to follow their path. One of the greatest stories I ever read, and it's still moving. I had a hard time putting these things to my notes. I'll try to get through this, because this story truly, profoundly affected me. And that was many years ago, I read in a book of James Dobson, and many of you know him, the founder of Focus on the Family, tremendous ministry. But it all started, James Dobson got his concept, not only from the Lord, his word and so on and so forth, but his dad was a pastor, and his dad was a good father. And his dad very much invested in his son. And James Dobson told of his story when he was a young teenage boy. He said, my dad and I got up real early in the morning before the sun even got up, and we went out into the woods, and the whole purpose is to go out into the woods, and my dad tucked me away behind a big large log over one plate, and he went away about 15, 20 yards away and looked at, and went behind another log, and they were just sitting there waiting for the sun to come up and the sunrise to come and for nature to wake up. And, you know, all of a sudden you just see animals and nature waking up. But little did his dad know, that was the day that God touched his son's heart. And he said, instead of looking all at nature, he was looking at his dad across about 15, 20 yards. And he had a sense of overwhelming appreciation for the love and dedication he had for his son. And he vowed that day, my dad's God will be my God. And that is you never know when that day will come that God graciously will work on your children's heart in that way. But you are to be ever so faithful and teaching and modeling and living by example over and over, and be willing to confess when you're wrong and repent and change your way and get back up and get back on the path. And that story profoundly affected me. And so the idea here, beloved, we need to understand that when it comes to parenting, there is absolutely no room for manipulation and guilt tripping our children into behavior modification. You want to transform their life by living the truth and teaching the truth and trusting in the Holy Spirit to do His work in the heart of your children. There is a plethora of books on raising children, and most of them are not worth the ink they were written on, because they are human wisdom, anecdotes, stories, very little of biblical instruction. And so we need to understand that we need to, when it comes to raising and teaching our children, we must pray much and depend upon the Holy Spirit to open their heart and to be patient and continue to faithfully teach and model. I want to encourage and suggest a couple books that were game changers for me. These two books were written by brothers. They were the Tripp brothers, T-R-I-P-P. The only regret I had with these was the fact that when one of them, my boys were too old when he wrote it. And that is, I brought them out here so you can see. These are phenomenal. One is Shepherding a Child's Heart. It's all about getting into shepherding your child's heart, not behavior modification, getting them to look like cookie cutters and make sure they look good outside and you have no idea what's going on inside. Excellent, phenomenal book. And then his brother wrote even what I think is not only the best on raising teenagers, which is one of the more difficult subjects, and it's called The Age of Opportunity by Paul Tripp. The other one by Ted, T-E-D-D, Paul Tripp, Age of Opportunity. And I would especially encourage parents, I would especially encourage any adult to read chapter 2 in this book. You will not read chapter 2 and not come out not convicted, because it's all about the idols that parents have that's really the problem and the roadblock to teaching and raising teenagers. And that chapter alone is worth the price of this book. And both of those books are friends to parents who want to raise godly children and do it in a way that is honoring to the Lord. Certainly not infallible, but extremely useful. So I encourage you to consider getting those copies, read them. Well, I'm past parenting. Well, you can still have wisdom to pass on to others. And maybe knock out some of that stuff that's not so good. But anyway, we need to understand that the Bible teaches over and over throughout. It stresses parents are to teach and to teach and to continue to teach God's word and apply it to all of life. That is explicitly clear. We see it again and over. We thought from the very beginning in our exposition of chapter 1 through 9, even when you get in chapter 10 on, and you have verses that teach it the same thing, it reinforces that. And it stresses young people, children, listen to your parents when they're trying to impart wisdom. Point number 2. Now, children, it's your turn. I thought I'd start with mom and dad first. The duty of children towards their parents. Proverbs. I chose to use the same exact verse, Proverbs 23, verse 24 and 26, but zeroing in on the children in this section. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad that, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my way. So we see here, from the beginning, we need to see the fact that children have the great responsibility and joy to be a blessing to their parents. Let the father of the righteous, meaning children who had become righteous, will greatly rejoice the father. When you have a wise child, you'll take great delight in them. Let your father and your mother be glad. You want your parent to be glad, especially if you got godly parents. You have been blessed with parents who are teaching you the things in the way of the Lord. You want to be a blessing to them. You want them to be glad. You want them, and I'm talking about beyond the normal family thing that even lost people have. This is zeroing in on Christian parenting and Christian home, where we are targeting and focusing on what God desires in the home and from the parent and from the children. We have a world that's out there trying to, like I said earlier, destroy the home. They're doing it systematically through policy. They're doing it systematically through entertainment. Satan doesn't want stability in a society. And a society will only be stable if the homes are stable. And so it's important that we see that. It's interesting when you look at the aspect of the word observe, same word, same verse, but if you see it through the eyes of the parent, your kids are watching. But you see it through the eyes of the child is supposed to look and observe in a favorable and agreeable way. Not, that's my dad, that's my mom. They're kind of, you know, little beyond the time. You need to have the spirit of treating them with respect and honor and realizing that you need to observe them favorably and agreeably. That's the term that's used. It also speaks that young people need to be wise in heart in all of life. Proverbs 23:15, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Proverbs 23:19, hear my son and be wise and guide your heart in the way. What way? My way? No. Your way? No. His way. In the way of wisdom. We have already learned all of that. Proverbs 27:11, my son, be wise and make my heart glad. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Every young person needs to write that down. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. This is your verse. You need to live clearly in the home and throughout the rest of your life. And there are two major mandates you need to get from it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Two things, obey them, honor them. That is what you are to do. Proverbs says over and over and over and outlines the mark of a wise child. And shows how they can honor their parent and bring much joy and delight to their heart. I'm going to list five things that Proverbs give to us in the way of principles that young people need to do that can be an immense blessing to their children and be considered people or young people trying to be wise in heart. Number one, listen to your parents. If they're teaching you godly principles, it is to your advantage to listen to them. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. The whole concept there, it's not mom and dad sitting down in a very constructive, didactic, academic. This is in the context of chastening. Okay? Verse 13:1. White then he did father's instruction. The word instruction that was constantly used, and it speaks of learning through discipline, chastening, correction. You need to, above all things, be teachable. We learned earlier where Hebrews chapter 12 brings the full flower of being chastened by the Lord. And when you're being chastened, don't despise the chastening hand of the Lord. Well, that's true. Don't despise the chastening of your parent. This verse said, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. So the context is talking about correction. So you need to listen to them. Have a discussion if you think they're wrong. But don't become rebellious, resistive, argumentative, and develop a spirit of a contrarian. Where I don't care what they say. You don't want to do that. Proverbs 15:5. A fool despised his father's instruction. Same word. Being taught through rebuke. But he who receives correction is prudent. Another term for discerning and wise and understanding. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. So we see here, take heed, listen, take correction, be teachable. Clearly, to go against these truths is to show you think you know more than your parent, you think you know more than God, that you know more than His Word. And you are, when you go against that, you are displaying the spirit of unteachableness. When you're not there to learn and to glean principles for life, you're unteachable. You're not only do you not listen, but you are confrontational and resistive when they do try to teach you. You really are not attentive. You're not inclining your ear to listen. You're not taking heed. You're just like, when is it going to be over? That's tragic. That's born in the heart of every child, and that the children's responsibility to develop that, and parents need to earn the respect and love by faithfully living out what they teach. Nothing frustrates children more than when parents teach and demand things, and we as parents are inconsistent in our own lives regarding that. Point number two, do not speak ill of them, ever. Proverbs 20:20, whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in the deep darkness. Proverbs 30:11, there is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. That's the opposite of showing honor. You're supposed to honor and respect and love all that they do in providing and protecting and guiding and leading to help you, because one day you're going to be on your own. I mean, there's going to be a day, and I think almost every one of us, when those of us who parents are no longer with us, we wish we were there so we can tell them, thank you for teaching me. Sorry for being so stubborn and hard-headed and so on and so forth. But the idea is, don't speak ill of them. It all starts with an attitude of despising them in your heart. You want to be careful. Love and adore, honor and respect them. But as soon as you allow a despising spirit to creep into your soul, that is dangerous stuff. Proverbs 23:22, listen to your father who begot you and do not despise your mother. Now that doesn't mean you shouldn't despise your mother, but you can your father. I already clarified that earlier. It means don't do that to your parents, either one. For those who think it's kind of cool to do that, it's okay, secretly in their heart maybe, let me give you Exodus 21:17. He who curses his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. How would you like to live in the Old Testament law? Chances are, let's be honest, a lot of us wouldn't be here today. A lot of us wouldn't be here today. Let me give you another one. Deuteronomy 21:18. Verse 18-21, if a man hath a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey, and that is also including a daughter, just because it uses the word son. If a man who had a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who when they have chafed in him will not heed them, then his father and his mother will take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city and the gate of the city, his city, and they shall say to the elders of this his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stone. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Can you imagine the scene watching a teenager going, being brought before because of being stubborn and rebellious, and it was proven and concluded that they stoned the child to death. Now, being stoned is a gruesome way to go. It takes time. Bloody, a lot of things get dislocated. A lot of things, my goodness, it's massively disturbing. But it was intended to be public, and it would set the conscience of the nation to fear. If you are in the home, you will be treated this way if you are stubborn and rebellious in the home, because God said himself, this evil need to be put away. It is evil to disturb the home with rebellion and stubbornness. Now, thankfully, we don't live in those times, but that still doesn't change the fact of the pathology of living that life. You will reap what you sow, and it is tragic. It is tragic. Number three, I've already talked about the fact that you don't speak evil of them. Don't mistreat them either. You watch out what you say about them. Watch how you treat them. Proverbs 19:26, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. There's nothing attractive to children who mistreat their parents. It's a total shame, it's a total reproach, and it's very much dishonoring. In fact, I did a word study on the word reproach. It means you bring about embarrassment, humiliation, and dishonor to your parents. And children will answer to God for that. Proverbs 28:24, whoever robs his father or his mother and said it is no transgression, the same as the companion to a destroyer. What does that mean? Don't steal from your parent. Hey, it's my mom and dad anyway. What theirs is mine. No, that's not true. You have to get permission. You don't get to get taken willy-nilly. That's why God called it robbing. Don't mistreat your parents. If you want something, ask. But don't take without permission. If they say no and you still want it, go work for it. It's real simple. Number four. I know children are not going to like this. Pull your weight in the family. I like what Proverbs 10:5 said, that he who gathered in the summer is the wise son. He who sleeps in the harvest is the son who caught the chain. Here a son should be working, doing his part on the farm. And he's not, he's being a sluggard. We already dealt with the sluggard and the lazy one. I like what one commentator said, that some children treat their home as a motel and it cost them nothing. They'd eat and sleep in it, but nowhere to be found or seen when there had work to be done. This is a shame and very dishonoring to parents. It is funny, I've heard parents say that when they say the word work, and their children here, they're gone. One even joked and said, I know my son would break the speed, the 100-meter record, just by saying the word work at the starting line, and he will break the record. We need to pull our weight in the family. Where do you think you're going to learn how to work? Where are you going to learn how to develop character and integrity? Where are you going to learn how to do debate that duty when you have your own family unit and know what to do? And number five, watch the company you keep. Now, I'm not just winging it because I know children heard it, especially teenager, be careful of the company you keep. But here, listen to this. Proverbs 28, verse 7. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of glutton shames his father. And the word they use is companion. Those that you make your friends, your closest friend that you kind of share values and this and that and the other. And here, this person is made himself a companion of people who think nothing of living wastefully. Proverbs 29, verse 3, whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but a companion of harlot wastes his wealth. Be careful who you hang around with. If your parents have some concern, listen to them. It's to your advantage. They have experience. They see things you don't. And then again, don't ever rule out the fact that you, as the child, may be wandering in your heart because you're desiring what you shouldn't. And one of the biggest things you need to be careful with is when you got a very passive child that will go with the flow, and then all of a sudden when they leave the home, they just go nuts. Why is that? They didn't want to fight. They didn't want to challenge. That's why parents need to observe and make sure their children are being trained and you're shepherding the heart, not just looking, you know, I can't believe my little Susie or little Johnny, my goodness, they were just a sweet little whatever, but you didn't take the time to understand or observe to see if there was really some transformation going on. They just happened to fit and cause no problem. You want to be careful with that. Point number three in our outline. What is the primary goal in the home? Turn with me to Deuteronomy 6. Everybody needs to turn there. Deuteronomy 6. I know that it's in Proverbs, but Proverbs is all built and predicated upon everything that gone before. But this is where it really starts. I thought of doing the one in the New Testament, but I chose to do the Old Testament where it all started. We all know Deuteronomy is the book that God had given the law the second time, to the second generation, the generation that's going into the promised land, and the first generation that what I call the Exodus generation had died off with the exception of Caleb and Joshua and those who were under 20 years of age. He has now given them and expanding on the law. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 7, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, parents. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, throughout the course of the day, be ever teaching and teaching, because there will be a day where your teaching is over and they're out on their own. This is the greatest commandment. Restated and reiterated by our Lord himself, even when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? This is what he pointed to. To love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and body. Everything, beloved, we do in the home is to work toward that goal and purpose, to mutually help each other in the journey to the celestial city. We're in the journey together, children, parents. Work together as a family, as a team. I thank God for the many a time that as I have taught my children and inadvertently, my one that comes to my mind is, sometimes they're good at giving you your sermon back at you. One of them is, there was a time I forgot to pray before we ate, and oh my goodness, my boys let me have it. Thankful because I needed it. I did what, like, I don't know why I didn't do it. I was just hungry maybe, or forgetful. But the point is, I was thankful that they called me on it because my teaching came back to help me. And that's good, and it's good to be humbled and to learn that they saw that nobody's perfect and we can all pick back up and carry on. But at the end of the day, we need to love one another, but always striving for the goal of honoring God and seeking to love Him with all of our heart and every fiber of our being. The world doesn't care about that, but we were placed on this planet for that purpose. To love and adore our Creator, and even more so as our Redeemer. We need to see and realize that we need to be exalting our triune God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We need to teach God's Word to ourselves, parents, and to our children. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, to live out a life of biblical faithfulness and example. You can't live it out apart from the work of the Spirit within you. He both worked in and then through you of His good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. And so, that's simple. I didn't give you a book. I recommended some books. I encourage you. They are a great guide and help. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for giving us instruction, wisdom, guidance. We want to plead You, honor You. We love You. We thank You for Your grace. We marvel at Your goodness toward us. We have just come off of Thanksgiving and our hearts are filled with gratitude. Truly, in the truest sense of the word, thankful. Full of thanks as we ponder and reflect Your mighty faithfulness and goodness towards us. And yet one of the greatest ways You have done that is You have not left us without a guide through Your Word. We live in a world that loves chaos, in rebellion to You, want to live which is right in their own eyes and their own thoughts, according to the sinful dictates of their heart. But Father, help us to love You. Help our children to grow up and to love You. And may our children grow up and say one day, my parent God is my God. And so, Father, we pray that You would do a work in our midst. May we honor and glorify You in all that we do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.